Morning. It's truly a blessing to read from God's inspired word. Our scripture reading this morning is going to be coming from the first chapter of John, verses 1 through 14. I'll be reading out of the New American Standard. John, the first chapter, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came for a witness, that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came that he might bear witness of the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came into his own, and those who were in his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten Son from the Father, full of grace and of truth.
What great reading that is. And when we think about Jesus, I want us to be thinking about how great He is on this day. For He is great. And the reason why I wanted that passage read is because we're going to be all over talking about Jesus. Reminded of what Pilate said in John 19:5, "Behold the man." You think about Jesus, he definitely was a man. He's a man's man. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 2 in verse number 5, "He's the man, Christ Jesus." What a powerful man of God he is. If anything, we can look up to Jesus because he is definitely a man's man. He's God's man. In John 1 verse 1, he was there in the beginning. He's the creator of the world, Colossians 1 verse 16. Reminded before Johnny Ramsey died, Brother Don Walker had me to meet him. And Brother Ramsey said to me, he said, "Brother Bonner, make sure that when you preach, put the Bible in your sermons. The people need to hear the Bible." And the reason why is because that's how God speaks to man. Reminded of what Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God." And that's profit to it, friends. And we just got to go to the Word, and we have to know for a fact that God's Word is true. And because God's Word is true, we can trust it. Jesus, in the beginning, became flesh, John 1:14. Friends, we have to believe that. And I hope, pray, and trust that we will continue to keep that in the forefront of our minds as we're going out and we're talking to people about Jesus. What greater person, what greater name that we can even utter from our tongues. I'm reminded of what Peter said in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, no other name given among men whereby we must be saved." Friends, we have to go to Jesus. We think about some of the benefits of Christ. Who is this man, Jesus? When we consider about Jesus and who he is, what does he mean to us? Is Jesus important to us? You know, some would probably say, "Of course, Brother Bonner, he's important to us. That's why we're here." But really, I'm probably not talking to us. I'm probably talking to your family and coworkers and those who may not see the importance of Jesus and the importance of his word, but you do. And sometimes as God's people, we just need to be reminded of how important Jesus is. You know, you think about what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, that, you know, while he was in this tabernacle, he didn't mind reminding them of the things that they already knew. And sometimes we just need to be reminded of how important Jesus is, and how can we serve Jesus better? How can we serve God better? Do we even think about serving him better? Why should we serve him more? What is keeping us from serving God more? In Hebrews chapter 1, turn your Bibles there real quick And verse number 3, you're going to see something very interesting in that particular verse, because Jesus is the express image of God. You know, if we all knew Greek, if we all knew Koine Greek, the language in which Alexander the Great changed the common language to in that particular time, you would see the Greek word icon. Jesus is the icon. He is the exact image of God. No wonder he said on one occasion, "You've seen me, you've seen the Father." Friend, it's all about Jesus. And really, any man that mounts the pulpit, he needs to make sure that it's all about Jesus. It's all about what he says and all about what he has commanded. And no wonder I'm reminded of what Jesus said in John 14:26 and also John 16:13. He told his disciples, "I'm not going to leave you comfortless." As a matter of fact, the Father is going to send a comforter. He's going to be the helper. He's going to guide you into all of the truth. And friends, he was talking to his disciples, and because of that, we can have a surety that what we read in his word is true. Because Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me." But who is this man, Jesus? In Galatians 4, verse number 4, God chose the right time, under the right circumstances, to send Jesus. Born of a woman, born under the law. You know, I thought about that, and I thought about how Jesus was born of a virgin. You know, it's during this particular time frame that people are acknowledging the birth of Christ. Wrong time frame, but at least we know that they're acknowledging Jesus Christ as being born. But as the people of God, that's where our foundation is. God in his miraculous mindset, and how he had the Holy Spirit to impregnate Mary. Isaiah 7 and verse 14, Isaiah knew that 700 years before it even took place. Jesus was going to be born of a virgin. We see in Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 21 that he was going to be the Emmanuel, which is God with us. Put this in your notes. In Numbers chapter 3, in verses 14 through verse number 39, put that in your notes. One thing I love about that particular passage is that God told the children of Israel, as they had the tabernacle in the midst of the tribes of Israel, and the north side, the south side, and the west side was covered by the children of Israel. But you know who was on the east side? You know who was at the door of the tabernacle? It was Moses, the lawgiver. It was the Aaron and his sons, the priesthood. They were to make sure that they took care of the tabernacle and the needs of the people. Jesus is the door. He always takes care of the needs of the people. Wow, the man, Christ, y'all smile. That's good stuff right here. This is Jesus we're talking about. We're not talking about the president-elect. We're not talking about the president of the United States. We're not talking about some famous actor or actress. We're talking about Jesus. Talking about Jesus. We ought to get excited talking about Jesus. Behold, the man. Think about this great man, Jesus. And one thing that Mary, being a virgin, Luke 7 and verse 34, she understood the importance of purity. Let's slow down. Let's talk about this for a second. She put herself in a position, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 32, she put herself in a position to be used by God. You know what that tells us, young ladies? Put yourself in a position to be used by God. Keep your purity. Titus chapter 2, the older ought to teach the younger, keep your purity. She understood that she needed to make sure that she was pure before God. Not that she knew that Jesus was going to be born of her, but she kept the law. She was holy before God. She wanted to make sure that God was her forefront and in the forefront of her mind. You know, young men, you need to stay pure too. You know, I'm going to be all over the Bible with much application this morning. It's all about Jesus. And the more I thought about this, you know, we think about how even as married men and women, we need to keep ourselves pure. We need to make sure that we keep ourselves in a way that God is pleased with us. And as we go out into the world, we're the light of the world, Philippians 2 and verse 15. And the more I thought about that, I thought about how she allowed herself to be used by God. Are you allowing yourself to be used by God, young people? As a matter of fact, we need more young individuals who have their minds made up, 1 Corinthians 7:32 again, that they're going to be used by God. You know, if you're single, your time ought to be dedicated to the Lord. What a powerful passage that is. I didn't make that up. Paul said that. We think about that and we think about how God wants to use us in his service. But this Emmanuel, this God with us, in Acts 17 and verse 27, we notice that Paul is on Mars Hill and he's talking to these idolaters, if you will. And he said in verse 27 that God is not far from us. He's close. You know, that's a hard concept for us sometimes. How close is God? Is God sitting on the circle of the earth? And as he is sitting on the circle of the globe of the earth, rather, and as he's sitting on the circle of the earth, is he so far from us that he doesn't see what's going on? No. He's right here with us. It's amazing how the earth is his footstool and how God sees everything that's going on with us. In Proverbs 15, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord in every place beholding the evil and the good. God sees it all. He understands our thoughts. He's there even when we're going through the hardships of life. No wonder Peter said in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Why is this important to us? Because Jesus is the reason why all of this is even in our grasp. Then we see that Jesus was all about business. Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke. In Luke chapter 2, we see that Jesus was, even in his youth, we see Luke capturing some things that are just powerful. In Luke chapter 2 and verse number 49, you remember Jesus was left in Jerusalem and his mother, Mary, and Joseph, his earthly father, came looking for him. And where did they find him? No, they didn't find him playing on the PlayStation. No, they didn't find him in the neighborhood grocery store. They didn't find him riding his tricycle or riding his moped. They found him in the temple, asking questions and being asked questions. Oh, yes. You know what he told Mary and Joseph? Do you not know that I must be about my father's business? He wasn't talking about Joseph. Oh, he was talking about his father. He was talking about Jehovah. And when Brother Patton, as he prayed this morning, he started off his prayer, Jehovah. Thought about that. It's powerful. He was about Jehovah's business. More thought about that. You know, we ought to be about Jehovah's business. Oh, we're going about seeking our own business. There's nothing wrong with that. But make sure that we're seeking Jehovah's business first. Jesus was all about taking care of business. During his earthly ministry, Luke records in Luke 19 and verse number 10. Notice what Jesus says this. And it's amazing that Luke, the physician, the one that was very good in the Greek language, if you will, he understood some things. He was very, can't think of the word I want to use. Observant. There it is. I'm getting old. Luke 19:10, he says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. You know, it's amazing that only Luke captures this. Luke captures this. He was observant. You know that it teaches us that we need to be observant of Jesus. We see in Luke chapter 23 that Luke captures some more about this great man, Jesus Christ. Luke 23 and verse 46, we understand what Isaiah said in Isaiah 52:14, that his visage was marred. He was unrecognizable. He's on this cross, not for his sins, but for our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:20 and 21. Remember, he knew no sin. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 through 24. But notice what he says in Luke 23 and verse 46. He says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Now think about this. Jesus was all about the business of God. Jesus came to the earth to handle business. He took care of business. And Luke captures this business that he took care of. Oh, but then you think, well, that's not really much. No, Luke says, no, he goes on. We see in Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. We're not going to read all of that, but here Luke, he captures the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Him being raised from the dead. Behold the man being raised from the dead. God demonstrates his power beyond any power that man has ever seen. Luke, he captures this, and notice what he says in verse number 32 of Luke chapter 24 as Jesus is talking about his resurrection, talking to these on the road to Emmaus. Notice their response. They said, did not our hearts burn within us? Jesus is talking about himself concerning the prophets and the Psalms concerning him. He just kept talking about who he was. Shouldn't that be us? Shouldn't we be talking about Jesus everywhere we go? Shouldn't we be talking about the Savior and what he did for the world and what he did for his enemies, Romans 5 and verse number 8? Now he demonstrated, God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Shouldn't we be talking about Jesus? Oh, they say Jesus is the reason for the season. I disagree. Jesus is the reason for every season. It's all about Jesus. Luke captures this, but hold on. Luke wasn't done. It's all about taking care of business. Luke chapter 24 and verse number 44. Jesus goes even further. Luke captures more business that he's taking care of. He tells them, his disciples, that repentance and remission of sin shall be preached in his name beginning at Jerusalem. Oh, Jesus was all about taking care of business. Friends, shouldn't we take care of business? But look at verse 51. Luke even captures Jesus being taken up in a cloud. You know, we need more Lukes. Like little Luke model well. We need more Lukes. You know, we ought to teach our little children, our sons, to be just like Luke. Just be observant of Jesus. Follow Jesus. Look at his every move. Listen to his every word. It's all about Jesus. You know, sometimes we listen to everybody but Jesus. We need little Luke, you see me, little Luke? We need more Lukes. We need more Lukes, right? Oh yeah, Luke wrote the book of Acts. Just capturing things. You know, sometimes things get away from us because we don't have our eyes on Jesus. The Hebrews writer looked to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith, Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Father, keep our eyes on Jesus. Every time we keep our eyes on something other than Jesus, we seem to find ourselves in trouble. But keep your eyes on Jesus. Jesus understood why he was here. He was no ordinary man. Notice in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 24 through 29, as we continue to talk about this Jesus, behold the man. Behold the man. The great man of God here. Calls himself the Son of Man. As a matter of fact, he was so in tune with God that when he spoke as one having authority, verse 29, and not as the scribes. You know, I'm thankful for men like Brother Johnny Ramsey, who has passed and went on to his reward, because he teaches us as the people of God that if any man speak, he ought to speak as the oracles of God. I get up there and tell a bunch of stories. Who cares about what you went on vacation last week? That doesn't have nothing to do with the pulpit. The Word of God has everything to do with the pulpit and helping people to be better people and helping those who are outside of Christ to see who Jesus is, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Hebrews 5 and verse number 9. Paul said that Christ is the power and wisdom of God. It's all about Jesus. The Old Testament is about Jesus. New Testament, about Jesus. Everything is about Jesus. Hold on. I thought it was about me. No, Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, if any man chase me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. It's all about Jesus. You know, if we follow Jesus, we'll end up where Jesus is. 1 Timothy 3:15-17. It's all about Jesus. Are y'all tired of hearing Jesus yet? Just talk about Jesus. I mean, we just talk about him all of the time. I wonder how many pulpits that are being occupied this morning, and they're talking about everything but Jesus. We ought to talk about Jesus. Jesus, well, you talked about sin too. Yeah, Jesus told those religious leaders in John 8, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come, verse 23. It's all about Jesus. Before Abraham was, I am, verse 58. It's all about Jesus. Remember in Matthew 14, verse 33, after he calmed the winds and the waves, and the Bible teaches us that they worshiped Jesus. Hold on. Well, he's God, man on earth. That could take place at that particular time. But even Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse number 9 that when you pray, pray to the Father, hallowed be thy name. Peter captures that particular idea in 1 Peter 2 and verse number 5 that spiritual sacrifices ought to be toward the Father, acceptable through Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. Jesus paves the way for us. Earlier we said that Jesus wasn't an ordinary man. Look at John 6. John 6, come on, y'all turn that with me. We're almost done with Jesus. Are we done with Jesus yet? We shouldn't be done with Jesus. As a matter of fact, when you read the scriptures, you should never get done with Jesus. Because all of the scriptures are about Jesus. John 6, verses 66 through 68, Jesus wanted a commitment. Notice what the Bible here has to say. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? Now, think about that question. You think about that question. He asks this powerful question, Rick. He looks at his 12 and he says, do you want to leave too? Here, all of these individuals have been following after Jesus. Now, he's asking for a greater commitment and they don't want to follow him no more. You know, sometimes people are like that when you're studying the Bible with them. You start talking about Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, that's fine. You start talking about the love of God and the grace and the mercy of God, and that's fine. But now you start talking about, well, you got to deny yourself. You need to be baptized into Christ. Have your sins washed away. Hold up. No. You start talking about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Hold up. No. You start talking about denominationalism and how it is a sin and it's an affront to God. And they say, well, hold up. No. I think this is where Jesus and I part. Friends, he looks at his disciples and notice, he says, will you go away also? In this text, you find nowhere in there, Brother Benson, that he's going to run after them. Jesus was willing to be all alone. But he wasn't alone because he had his Father, verse 66. But Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Isn't that beautiful? Friends, if God's word doesn't motivate you, if God's word doesn't excite you, if God's word doesn't prompt you, if God's word doesn't convict you, if God's word doesn't guide you, then it's not the word of God. It's us. And friends, every last one of us at times getting what you call a lull. All of us. And we need one another to encourage one another, to build up one another in the most holy faith. Jude, verse 20. He's asking for a commitment. Jesus has always asked for a commitment. Let me give you a couple points in the lesson is yours. All that was introductory material. Y'all smile. Come on now. This is good stuff right here. Think about this. Jesus wants a commitment. In Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20, Jesus is teaching his disciples. You remember he's on the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He said, who the son? Men say that I, the Son of Man, am, and then they go through this great list of great men of God, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But who do you say that I am? You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Isn't that powerful? Every time we talk to people about Jesus Christ and his beautiful church, Acts 8 verse 12, they can make a decision to follow after Jesus Christ. And why is this? Because men and women must make a decision to commit to Christ. Friends, we ought to commit to what Jesus built. That's the church. Jesus built the church. Look at Ephesians 2. In Ephesians 2, as we begin to come to a close. Now, I use the word begin. That's the operative word. We begin to come to a close. And in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, we see the purpose of the church. It is God's workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Hold on. In Acts 10 and verse 37, Jesus went about doing good. It's all about doing good. Doing those things that are moral and upright. Those things that give God the glory. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Notice, when we consider the purpose of the church, the purpose of the church, verses 9 through 11, is to show heaven that we're doing God's will. Oh, come on now. Let's look at this. Look at verse number 8. To me who am less than the least of all the saints, chapter 3. This grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages had been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God, the many facets of God, might be made known by the church. To who? To the principalities and powers. Where? In the heavenly places. Oh, when we do the will of God, heaven erupts. Heaven is grateful. Heaven is thankful. When we are doing God's will, we're making heaven see that we're taking God serious and that we love Jesus Christ, and we're going to make sure to tell the world about it. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. We're also to make people see. Don't have time to read all of that. But you go and you read that. That people ought to see that we as the church of Christ are truly the people of God. And that we love Jesus. And we love him as a man and as a savior and as the anointed one and as king and as Christ and as Lord. We love him in all those areas of our life. Oh, he's God. And we love him because of that. Let me give you a couple points and the lesson will be yours. I'll pick one out of the five. Let me pick one. Yeah, let's pick this one. Jesus gives us hope. Now, friends, in a hopeless time that we live in at times, depending on who you talk to, isn't it good to have hope? Isn't it good that even when the bottom falls out, Brother Popejoy, we have hope? Jesus said in John 11, verse 25, he was talking to Mary and Martha, and remember Lazarus had just died. Well, he had been dead for 4 days, and the Bible says that his body stinks. Jesus has this great conversation with his sisters. Lord, we know that he'll be raised on the last day. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Verse 24 of chapter 11. Jesus. Oh, friends, he's our resurrection today. John 5, 28 and 29, Jesus talks about those who are going to be raised from the dead. Oh, we got a great hope that even though our body may be wrecked with cancer, Romans 8, 24, we know that we have a new body waiting. And we don't know what we're going to be like, but we do know this, that death can do nothing against us. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 through verse 58. And because of that great hope that we have, we can be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, all because of what Jesus did. I wonder what heaven is going to be like as Jesus is on the throne with God. I wonder what heaven is going to be like. I wonder if it's going to be like it is in some congregations of God's people today who really don't have an interest in Jesus. Well, I just need to go because I don't want people to call me. I want people to come and check on me. No, in heaven, it's going to be a great and awesome time. It's going to be a time that we're going to see the face of God in Revelation 22, verse 3 and 4. We're going to see the street of gold. We're going to see the tree of life. We're going to be able to feast on those things. It's going to be a great time. There's going to be magnificent singing there. Oh, when we were singing and our dear brother was leading us in singing, were you singing? It's all about Jesus. When you give, do you think about Jesus? When you pray, do you thank God that you can go through Jesus? When you commune, do you think about Jesus? Mike, it's all about Jesus. And any time a man loses focus on Jesus, he has lost focus on life, Brother Freeman. Jesus said, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What would a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus, what are you saying? It's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. Who are you focused on? Hopefully you're focused on Jesus. Maybe you're not a child of God. And well, you focus on Jesus, but you're like the blind man in John 9. You need your eyes to be opened. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. At least the blind man was in the vicinity of Jesus. And remember, after Jesus healed him of his blindness, they kicked him out of the synagogue. Jesus went looking for that man. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in Christ, in Jesus? He said, how can I? Who is he? The one who's speaking to you. I am Jesus. And he said, go your way, sin no more, lest a greater evil happens unto you. Oh, it's all about Jesus. Y'all smile. Can you smile for me just one time? Thank you. You know why? Because Jesus is the reason. It's all about Jesus. And when we lose that focus, God says, we lost it all. But we can be like Stephen as he looks at Jesus standing on the right hand of God and he is being stoned. Paul says in Galatians 6 and verse 14, he carries the stigmas, the tattoos. He had been tattoos by the... Did I spit on you, brother? My bad. By the tattoos of the stones. Sorry about that, young man. You come back now. Don't let the spit drive you away. I need to calm down. But friends, it's all about Jesus. And Stephen saw him. He said, lay not this charge to them. He gave up the ghost. Friends, even at the point of death, you keep your eyes on Jesus. You don't have to worry about anything. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. We got so many things coming our way. Keep your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on him. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. God will give you the crown of life. You live faithful even to the point of death. He'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I make you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. It's all about Jesus. But maybe you're a child of God and, hey, it happens to me. Sometimes I need somebody that's going to say, get yourself together, boy. Amen. None of us are never too good for someone to come and say, You know, I would rather let one of y'all spank me than let the Lord spank me. Because he always embarrasses you if he has to do it, but it's for your good. But at least if we allow each other to do it, we can keep each other in check.